This is In the Zone with Ian Robb and Dancing Pete Rota. One's a mental toughness coach who also helps riders with recovery. The other, a horseman with soul, who is also a marriage counselor for the rider and horses. Together, they dive beyond ribbons and rankings to where real riders train, the mind. From elite arenas to quiet barns, this show is about the mental edge, the recovery rhythm, and the heart that keeps you in sync with your horse and yourself. So whether you're tuning in from the tack room or the open road, saddle up. You're in the zone now.
All right, Pete. The guest that we have in the zone today is someone who is very close to me and has helped me personally, because I got to tell you that being a professional tennis coach for many years, and I find a lot of trainers are like this too, where they're constantly taking care of their horses, they're taking care of their riders, but not themselves. Even the riders aren't really taking care of themselves as well.
No, I agree with you totally. I get up and take care of horses, make sure the hooves are done, you know, the chiropractor comes out, all those kind of things. But then just recently I decided to go, maybe I need to start doing that. But a lot of trainers we've had guests on that we've encouraged them to take care of themselves, and they just don't want to. And why we developed this was the mental in the zone for the mental part of it, but also the recovery. And that's the part I think is missing. And today I think we're going to have an eye-opening experience of why that's important.
Absolutely, because we're kind of flipping the script a little, because we're talking about caring for the human behind all the training and the therapy and the daily grind in the equine world. And our guest is someone who has spent decades helping people take back their health, from toxins to habits to total lifestyle transformation. In fact, Casey Conrad has helped me with my own personal health. And here I was, and I joke about it with a lot of people when I got out of the tennis world, because I had two hip replacements, shoulder, skin cancer. I had to get off the court. And I say, don't be like me to these riders and to the other athletes, because I joke about that. My Christmas card is like, I'm the operation board game itself, just with my face and a red nose. And
well, you usually do have a red nose, but we won't talk about that.
So Casey actually helped me last year, and we'll talk a little bit about it, but with my own personal health, okay, where I actually, she got me on a program where I lost 35 pounds.
Wow. So hold on. Here we go. We're taking your health to In the Zone.
Welcome, Casey Conrad.
Well, thank you for having me, gentlemen.
It's awesome. As someone that's had so much experience in the health world, I think that's important for the audience to listen. Give us a little bit more of your background and why we have you here with your great foundation in the health and wellness.
Sure. Well, I think the reason you have me here is because of my wellness center, Make Yourself Healthy Again, working with people to improve the quality of their life through better health. My background, which is incredibly diverse, I'd say, as it relates to health, I was an athlete. I was a young athlete, first girl in Rhode Island to break through Boys Little League, went on to compete in martial arts and bodybuilding, and just generally a jock, if you would, skiing, tennis, whatever. But I ended up in the health and fitness field through my martial arts, ended up working for a health club chain, then started consulting in the health club business on the business side, not per se the fitness side. And then fast forward a decade later, opened a weight loss center. I thought I wanted to settle down, have kids, and get married. That changed quickly. That grew to an international franchise of weight loss centers for women specifically, but then changed it over to being co-ed with a different program. And long story short, that led me into the natural wellness field because of my own personal back problem, due to being a competitive athlete that wasn't taking care of themselves. And eventually, you know, I grew up the daughter of a surgeon and a mother nurse. So I grew up really allopathic, but all allopathic modalities were not giving me relief and with my back. And so that when I got introduced to natural wellness, a whole new world opened up. And even though I still, it's like I have, split personalities. I still work as a consultant in the fitness and wellness space, but I also do the personal wellness in terms of having a physical center that helps people. And of course, you know, coaches people like you, in personal wellness. So it's a, I have lived like five lifetimes in my 61 years.
She's 61. I would not even think that, Casey. Are you serious? Wow. Well, I would say, I
If
thought.
you could watch this, she doesn't look 61, is what Ian's trying to
Exactly.
say.
Exactly. I thought she was at least in her early 50s. So it's actually the good health and good living that you've been doing.
Yeah, I always say to people, this is what 61 should look like. It's the rest of the world that looks like crap. And some people laugh and some people scowl at me. But it's true. The reality is that your physical outward appearance is an absolute representation of how you have taken care of yourself throughout your lifetime and genetics, of course. But, anyway, I won't go down that road yet.
And you were talking to us earlier that you are also a martial arts person.
Yes.
So you have a black belt in what?
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo.
Yep.
And how does that help you with your journey and your.
Yeah. Well, I think the martial arts for me was several things. First of all, I was an angry kid, and it allowed me to get my anger out through sparring, and then I did kickboxing for a period of time. So that was one element. I think that's what drew me to it. But the discipline of martial arts was incredible from an athletic perspective. Again, I was an athlete. I didn't get into martial arts until I went away to college. But I believe, and I watched as a teacher trainer, we taught kids, of course, and then I did a stint teaching women's self-defense at Walter Reed Military Hospital in Washington, D.C. The discipline of any type of athletic, sport that requires you to, train and perform over and over and over again, a kata, a skill, a kick, or whatever, I believe that absolutely applies to life, no matter what, whether that's your, competitive performance as a professional or as an amateur, or your ability to hunker down and do something well at home, at work, in a relationship.
Very good.
Yeah.
I'm just curious. Let's talk about it. Since you've been in the health and fitness industry, like you said, for 36 plus years, what first pulled you into this world after such a diverse background that you had?
Yeah. Well, as I said, it was by chance that I ended up professionally in the fitness world because I worked for the government. So I got a degree in international business. I was going to go to law school, but I didn't want to stay in school. I was ready to get out and do something. I was sick of school. And so the program that I had been involved in at American University was with the International Trade Administration, Department of Commerce, helping small businesses export products overseas. And I loved that, but I hated working for the government. And so after a very short 9 months postgraduate, I realized that my entrepreneurial spirit, I had been involved in a program called Junior Achievement. I don't know if you remember that. I was a JA geek. I carried a briefcase in high school and I won a lot of awards with that organization in sales and marketing. And so, that's what ultimately led me into international trade. But when I left the government, I had to get a job. I mean, I had a car payment, I had to rent. Actually, at the time, I had a mortgage. And so I opened the Washington Post. I was living in DC at the time. And there was a job because I had worked at a martial arts studio all through college. I had sold memberships and they were looking for a membership salesperson. So I'm like, okay, that's easy. So I went to work for this organization in DC called Spa Lady. It was women's. And they hired me on the spot, and I thought it was going to be temporary. You can imagine what my parents thought. I had just finished 4-year college degree,
Yeah.
and I traded in all of the suits that had been bought 9 months earlier for sweatpants. And I always got, well, when are you going to go back and get a real job?
Well, I got you beat. I got an animal science degree and I was going to join the circus to be a
Well,
tiger trainer.
there you go. Yep.
And I had the opportunity.
So anyway, to answer your question, that was probably too long of an answer, but when I got engaged in the health and fitness industry, I fell in love with it. And I worked my way very quickly up the ladder with this organization to be a sales trainer. And then in 1989, I started my own company. So it was, life is interesting. You start on a path and it brings you to another place.
So when you were doing your consulting and with your health and wellness operating like you're just talking about, how do you own a wellness studio with a myriad of technology modalities that most people are unfamiliar with? How do you go from a business consulting thing to where you are today?
Yeah. And this is why I say it's like I have a split personality. Well, if you go to my website, it says two paths, one purpose. So I still work in the business side. But what happened, Ian, was when I had my own personal health challenge, my low back, L4, L5, compressed bulging, degenerative, couldn't even tie my shoes. I mean, I literally laid on the floor for 2 weeks. Had to have my sister come over to help me. It was
And
horrible.
that's probably because of overuse. Would you
When
agree? With your bodybuilding, didn't
myself
take it exactly.
abused self as an athlete and didn't take care of myself, and you say, oh yeah, I'll push through it, right? So what happened was I ended up getting introduced to essential oils that were the only thing that gave me relief, not the eight Advil I was taking a day. And then that got me introduced to stem cell therapy through that group of people. That got me introduced to biofeedback, which was crazy at this. I was speaking in Australia at a trade show for fitness on business, of course. And I walked by this booth that smelled really good. And this guy was talking, raving about peppermint, and I was laughing. I literally thought to myself, this is where the term snake oil salesperson comes from, right? But then he said magic words. He said, and you can't believe what peppermint does for pain. And I was like, what? Right? I mean, eight Advils a day and still not able to do workouts like I used to.
Which we see a lot of trainers, they're just taking those
Yeah.
eight Advils
Let's just cut the check engine light, just overrides, right? So anyway, that's, I don't want to go down that rabbit hole. Bottom line is that introduction to natural wellness and my personal recovery with natural modalities, the biofeedback, the essential oils, the supplementation, the stem cell therapy, ultimately the PEMF, et cetera, what happened was I actually opened a very small boutique wellness studio in my offices, and I started seeing the same theme over and over and over again. And that was people would come in and they'd say, I've been to every doctor, I've had every test, and they all tell me the same thing. All your scores are within normal range, but I don't feel well, I'm not sleeping well. I don't have energy, or I've got this rash, or whatever it was. And so they were out of traditional options. And I could hook them up to this device, a biofeedback device. And it's not diagnosing, but it's revealing clues about the body that say, okay, that's interesting. Your digestion is bothering you, but here what it's telling me is that it's lack of sleep and you're on alert too often. You're running too high, your adrenals are running too high. Let's look and see, because the body's like an onion. What is revealed on the outside from a symptom is truly more of a representation of something internally. And until you peel back the layers and find out what the root cause is, you will still have the symptom. So you go to the doctor because your digestion is off, and they give you an antacid or they give you something else. Again, they're cutting the check engine light. What we do is say, what's the root of it? So we find out that 90% of the time, someone with a digestion issue It's either one of two things. It's either their nervous system is completely whacked, or their immune system is completely whacked. And there could be a lot of other reasons for that. So anyway, so how did I end up here w talking about wellness is because my own personal journey exposed me to an alternative world, which is ironic that they call it alternative because I think it's fundamental,
Well,
right?
I think it's what we started with and created the medical field was first we did these things. I went to a naturopath in Colorado, and the first question he asked is, what stresses you out?
Yes.
He says, that can solve more issues than anything. Take the
Exactly.
stress out of your life or learn how to deal with that stress, and half your problems go away.
Yes. Yes. And when someone comes to our center in Tennessee, the very first thing that we do is we do two tests. One is a heart rate variability test, and that gives us absolute, even if I didn't do an extensive biofeedback test, I could do the heart rate variability test, and I can know whether your nervous system is really the match that's lighting all the other things going on in your body. And truthfully, that's the fundamental thing that most people are dealing with today. Yes, there's all these other things that happen as a result of it, but quite frankly, most people are walking around on high alert too many hours a day. And that creates a cascade of domino effects in the body that result in symptomatic problems, digestion, skin issues, pain issues, whatever the case may be. That's a gross generalization, but.
No, it's right. Go ahead, Pete. I mean, you must see this all the time with all the people you work with.
Oh, yeah. I mean, getting people to relax is my main thing. It's like I always say, bounce the ball the amount of energy you think you're putting out. And a lot of people only bounce it like halfway. I'm like, nope, more than that, more than that. And all of a sudden they go, really? And I'm like, and the key is when they smile.
Yeah.
When I see that smile come up, I'm like, okay, now we're together, because that's when the body and the energy match.
Yes.
And then I go, now slow it down and slow it down and slow it down and stop it. And all of a sudden they're just like, is it? And I said, that's how you should be all the time, except for when you ask. And then when you ask, you should only bounce that ball a tenth of what you were doing
Yeah.
for when you ask, and then go back to nothing. And they're just blown away. And then I've had students that said that they were sleepy for a week. And I said, yeah, you're an adrenaline addict.
That's exactly right. Exactly. And look, we live in a crazy world, right? We wake up and the first thing most people do is they look at their phone. Bad first thing to do, right? You should really, I get up at 5 o'clock every day. Didn't today. I was at a friend's house, so I didn't have my normal routine. But the very first thing that I do is after I brush my teeth is I drink a big thing of water. Then I go downstairs and I do my exercise, a minimum of 30 minutes of exercise. Then I do 20 minutes of meditation. Then I turn on my phone and check my messages. You know, both my parents are dead now, so I'm like, well, don't need to worry about that. So there's not a lot I can do if somebody's in the hospital, you know. So it, the having that routine, but that allows me to not be triggered first thing in the day, right? But people are walking around triggered all day long. Their nervous system is on high alert, and that their adrenals are burned out, and that's exhaustion.
So you said the first thing you do. Now, what's the second thing when they come in?
Yes. So the first thing that we do is we do a heart rate variability, and preferably if the time permits and if they want to spend the money, right? Because it's not completely, it takes a couple of hours for us to do a full biofeedback test. And what we do is we identify what the body systems are that are most out of balance. And it's usually not what they came in for. You know, they say, oh, my skeletal system, my knee, I have pain. Well, that was actually number five in the larger scheme of things. That's just a result of all the other imbalances. And then what we do is the biofeedback device gives us an indication of A, what lifestyle adjustments they need to make. So you need to add this or remove that, right? And then it will also, if they want to, it will suggest us if there's any type of additional supplementation that they should take. So from there, And it also tells us what modalities are most aligned with them energetically. You know, do they need a vasya if it's a they're dealing with pain, which is a microcurrent? Do they need ozone therapy? Do they need molecular hydrogen? Do they need circulation therapy? Do they need more fitness, core balance, whatever it is, right? So that's the first thing. And then we create a plan for them. And you know, some people come and they stay for a week. Some people live locally. You know, some people just come for the day. It could be that we just throw them in the infrared sauna, the steam room, and get them to relax. Like you said, most people do not know how to shut down, and they literally are burning their flame out. I know that's a, you know, an analogy, but they're burning the flame out.
Everybody thinks I'm so calm when they meet me, and I go, "Oh, if you'd have met me in high school and college, or even, 15 years ago, you'd think totally different
Yeah.
because I had a lot of adrenaline. I could light up a room by just walking into it, and I still have that power, but now I've learned that quietness before that happens is actually more powerful."
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
And Pete, last year I had Casey coach me in my business, and she wrote that great book, Make Yourself Healthy Again, and started her own wellness center, which is called what?
Make yourself healthy again.
Yeah, but it's short for
Oh, Maya, the
Maya,
Maya Wellness
the
Studio.
Maya
Yeah,
Wellness,
Maya
yeah,
Wellness
which
Studio.
is a nice anchor room right there. But she's also too helped me take this Beamer cabin here at the World of Question Center and not just focus on Beamer, but also add different modalities and add these different things that she's told me to do. And now it's more of a wellness center that we're trying to do and helping the riders and the trainers and even the people that live here in Ocala that come and visit. But, and then stacking some of these, I call them biohacking,
Exactly what they are.
modalities that can help the body, and doing them all at once is really getting them into the zone. Now you have your Obi-Wan Kenobi way of doing it with your riders and with Brady here, where Brady's all excited to see everyone, but Pete comes in here, Casey, and all of a sudden he just looks and he just goes right in the crate and
Let's pick up
calms
people's
down.
energy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Yep.
Yes. And I'm always at fight or flight
Well,
anyway.
I always tell my students, yes, I can help you with a lot of things. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do other things to help with that. Like there's always a way. I mean, I use the Beamer. So why do I use the Beamer? Because I can see a difference in my sleep. I can see my difference in how well I do things and all that. So I use the Beamer. Yeah. So, but I'm also very picky about what I use because I've used a lot of different things. I do use oils also. And I've seen the changes, but then there's things I've used and I'm like, I really don't. But it doesn't mean it's not for somebody else.
Right.
It just means it wasn't for me.
Yeah. And you know, look, here's if someone were to say to me, what is Casey, you can only tell somebody one thing. What do they need to do to improve their wellness, their performance, their, you know, their recovery, all of
What
that?
is it, Casey?
Yeah.
What is that one
That
thing?
one thing is to learn how to have stress resiliency with your nervous system, meaning it's how you respond, not react. So let me just tell
Hold on, I
you
got
gotta have a little class.
Yes.
Yes, because here's the deal. Remember we talked about we're triggered every day, okay? You open your phone and it's some political thing that pops up on your phone or a news item, someone shot somebody, right? I mean, the world is a crazy world right now. So we have that trigger. Then you have maybe you have kids and there's that trigger. Then you have maybe your pets and there could be that trigger. Now you get in the car to go to work and someone cuts you off and there's that trigger and you go to your boss and that, right? So all day long, people are triggered, and every single time your adrenals fire, it's the fight or flight response. People don't know this. When you go into a fight or flight response, your microcirculation is impaired for 30 minutes.
Wow.
And the reason is that Mother Nature said, oh, you got to run from the bear. I'm going to shunt the primary amount of your blood flow to your larger muscle groups so you can run really, really fast. Right? So when your microcirculation is impaired for roughly 30 minutes, it's an immediate hit, but then roughly, it's why in stress reactions, right, responses, people will often pass out, right? Because literally the body has shut down the microcirculatory process. Again, doesn't completely shut it down, but it dramatically impairs it. Okay, what is your circulation delivering? Oh, oxygen. So if I sat here and I was strong enough to start strangulating Pete,
Oh, not
right?
me.
Right? What's the first thing that he's going to do? He's immediately going to try to fight me. But then he'll start to lose his power because he's not getting oxygen. I know that that's a crude analogy, but what's happening with people all day long is they're literally, because of the stress reaction, not response, they are declining in their oxygenation. And if you are declining in oxygenation, guess what happens to your nervous system? It says, oh shit. I need more oxygen. And
She
it's,
said ship. Ship.
oh,
It's
sorry.
no, that's okay. You got excited. I like it.
So the bottom line is if somebody wants to improve the overall quality of their life, their performance, their recovery, the one thing, if I could only have somebody give them one piece of advice, it is do whatever you need to do. That might be something as simple as meditation, going for a walk, grounding, or it could be using a technology that calms the nervous system.
Well, this is fascinating for me because this is what I teach. So, four things a horse does when they're scared that start with F: fight, freeze, flight, and faint. And a lot of people have never seen a horse faint. I have seen a horse faint. And like when you said you grabbed me and you said first thing I would do is fight,
That's
no,
right.
I probably would freeze because I'd be shocked that you were doing it.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, and then I might faint if I was scared enough. But that's what I try to tell people. And then what you're explaining is what I can't explain, is why the horse, when we give them the time, why are they doing better? What is the magic I'm doing? You're explaining it for me because I'm giving that body 30 minutes
That's right.
to go, oh, we're not in the same state. Oxygen goes back, and now they get in a sleepy looking state, which I call processing, is their body is going, oh, you don't have to do that when you're scared.
It's so interesting that you say that they get sleepy because guess what? It's the same for humans. When people come to our center and we're running frequency modalities 24/7, right? People will say, I can't believe I fell asleep for an hour and a half. And it's the most, I love it because the most amped up athlete or person that comes in, I never take a nap. I never fall asleep. I'll never, right? They fall asleep so quickly and they're snoring, and I have to take a little video of it because they won't believe me, right? And so that is literally their body shutting down. And I always say this to people, think of kids. Why do kids sleep so deeply? Because they need it. That's when the body is restorative and when they're growing, right? But a child, you'll be at the loudest carnival. And the kid all of a sudden just bloop, because their body knows that they need to recover. And we as adults have overridden our natural responses to things. And oh, I gotta push through. Oh, give me some coffee. I need a Red Bull. I need, right? And that's the wrong thing to do. I always say to people, look, if you need to take a nap, go take a 10-minute nap. You would not believe. Go out to the car. Real
Oh.
Push it back. Take a 10-minute. You won't believe it's when you take more than 30 minutes that you then feel groggy.
I mean, Thomas Edison used to take naps all the time,
Yes.
and
I couldn't take a nap to save my life when I was a kid. Nap time,
Yeah.
yeah.
Now I love it.
Oh, I remember when I was working and I was a morning person from 7:30 to 12. I could get 2 days worth of stuff done. As soon as after lunch came, I was halfway down. Sorry, I'm tapping the thing. Yeah,
that
Casey's helping me over
up.
here.
Mike picks that up
Yeah.
badly.
So then when I started taking naps after lunch, which I would take a 5-minute lunch and I'd go nap, and I would set my alarm for 40 minutes because I wanted to not go any further than 40 minutes, and I wanted 50, about 10 minutes to wake up.
Yep.
I didn't just want to jump up and have to go.
Sure.
And I got as much done in the afternoon as I did in the morning.
Well, what's important, and I see this at the Quarters Congress, and we have a booth up there for Beamer, every year, and we call them sleepers. We put them on, and we've even had, and they're snoring. And like I had a woman that was just finally gets a chance to rest. And I mean,
Yes.
Beamer stands for bioelectromagnetic energy regulation, self-regulating, self-healing your body naturally. I'm an independent Beamer distributor here, and I've had people come in from the health world, and they'll use the Beamer. I say, listen, now if you take a 20-minute nap, it's going to feel like a 2-hour nap. One went
That's
right up
great.
to the Equestrian Hotel, took a nap, and he was a pharmacist in South Carolina. Came right back and said, okay, I need to get one of these.
Yeah,
Because
good.
he's always on fight or flight.
Yeah.
He's always working. And that was the first time he was able to relax. Even having at the Quarters Congress, I had a lovely lady come and use it, and she had a puppy. And that puppy was all over the place, yap, 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 yap,
Yep.
yap.
Put it on her
And then all
window.
of a sudden, put it on the lap, and it's calmed down. She's like, what is this machine? I need to get this just to keep that dog
Yeah.
calm, you know?
Puppy calmer.
And so, and that's interesting because, of course, at my wellness studio, we have Beamers in every chair. And I know this podcast isn't specifically about that, but it's so important because it puts people in a parasympathetic state because of the delivery of oxygen, right? And so then an athlete needs to ask themselves, okay, I've got my nervous system under control. I have stress resiliency. Stress management is BS. In today's day and age, you're not going to manage stress. You can't like just go remove yourself from society. What you can do is create stress resiliency. And it's very similar. I don't want to get too far off the on a tangent. It's very similar to metabolic resiliency. What do I mean by that? Why do some people get super sleepy after something sugary or carbohydrate load when other people don't? And it's because their glucose, their metabolic response to it is not good. Some, if you use a glucose monitor, it will go up, but then it should come down very quickly. A lot of people, it doesn't because they don't have good metabolic health. The same thing is true with stress resiliency. You are going to get triggered. The question is, can you immediately stop bouncing the ball? Right? Can you? And the better you are at that stress resiliency, the quicker your body will return to full blood flow and oxygenation. But let me just finish the statement. So now we've got that under control, but there are a lot of athletes that have put themselves at the same place I did at one point in time where they have an injury now. That's where you have to layer other modalities. Maybe you use molecular hydrogen because it's super high in antioxidant effect. Maybe you use a microcurrent because you want to interrupt the pain signal that has created a pattern between your low back and your brain, right? So there's lots of other things that you can do, but the most fundamental is that getting into a parasympathetic state. Having a response, not a
This
reaction.
is fun. I'm going to fight for the next question instead of usually. Ian and I are like, well, go ahead. I'm like, oh. So you mentioned parasympathetic nervous system, and then there's sympathetic nervous system. And these are big words that I don't use until later on with my students. Please explain the two because it's very, I mean, I have a friend that does a lot of similar things that I do, but then times it by 10, which she would, you and her would go off on a tangent. Yes. But the hardest thing is she goes, it's simple. It's parasympathetic nervous system or sympathetic nervous system. However, everybody looks at her like,
What the heck
what
is
the heck
that?
is
Yeah, they're
that? So
big
please
words.
explain that.
So the nervous system actually has many different functions. It is truly the motherboard of the human body, okay? But so the sympathetic nervous system is the fight or flight. That is where your body is on high alert. The parasympathetic is the rest and digest. It's when it's calm, it's functioning. And as one of our Ian and mine's mentors in the medical world always says, you are only as healthy what you take in, assimilate, and then eliminate, meaning you can eat organic, but if you're not digesting it well, if you're not delivering it well to the cells, then you might as well be eating, Tostitos or some crap like that. So that's the difference between them. And most people are living in the sympathetic state all day long.
Now, will you agree? I always say sympathetic is reaction,
Yeah. Fight or flight. Yep.
parasympathetic is response.
Yeah. Well,
And that's where most of our understanding learning happens, where sympathetic is only learning of run,
yes.
hot, get out of the
Yeah.
way.
Burn the stove. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. No question about it. That's just another nuance to the, and I love that nuance. That's great.
So if you would tell a writer, since we have a big audience of writers, what would you give them suggestion to get out of that sympathetic, and what would you tell them, and what would the benefits be?
Sure. Well, what would I tell them? I would tell them, I would first of all say, Pete, let me ask you a question. When did you start riding horses?
When I was in college.
When you were in college? And did you get on and immediately were good at it?
No, ma'am.
No. So how long would you say it took for you to become proficient at riding?
Probably 20 some years, and
Okay.
I still feel like I need to
Okay.
keep
And
going.
then if you had to learn to rein, did you immediately take up a piece of rope and start reining correctly? No, how
No.
long did that take you?
Well, probably another 20 years.
You had to do what?
I had to practice.
Ah, so that's what I tell them. So first of all, I don't tell them what to do. I ask them and I analogize it to how long it took them to become proficient. And it's no different. Look, every day, okay, I didn't do it today because again, I was outside of my space and there were a lot of people around. I do 20-minute meditation every day after my workout. Yeah, after my workout, why don't I start with it? Because if I start with my meditation, I'll fall asleep in the chair again. So I do my training minimum of 30 minutes of physical fitness every single day, right? I do 200 sit-ups. I do 100, 30, 35 push-ups. I have this process that I follow, and I do the same thing with my stress resiliency. So you have to practice getting yourself into a calm state, and then you have to practice again. So now I get a call from someone that is doing something really bad for me, and I have to practice because my first response might be a reaction. And then I have to go back and say, that wasn't the best way to handle that. Let's replay. And so then in my next meditation the next morning, I will replay in my mind what happened, and then I will rewind it and I will change it and I will work on my breathing.
Wow, I need to take you with me, because I teach people. Some people joke around and say that what I do is meditating with horses. And I had one lady say, "Well, that's not, you can't do that." And I said, "Yeah, the
No, you
Buddhist
can't.
said cows were fine, but horses weren't." I was like, "You can meditate anywhere." But I put a frisbee down, and it's amazing how many people can't stand on that frisbee for an hour. And then how many of my students go, "We're not going to spend much time standing on the frisbee. What are you doing?" And it's their time to really meditate. And one of my students even says, the people that can't do it can't look at themselves in the meditation.
And that's the hardest part. Most people can't sit with themselves, right? And I mean, look at today, and I don't want to go down too many rabbit holes, but people are shocked when I'll say, like, I'll go, no. What did I do with my phone? Can someone call it and find it? And they're like, you lost your phone? I'm like, yeah. I lived for a lot of years without a phone in my pocket. But the reality is that most people can't sit with themselves. They have to be doing something. And we say, and riders know this, when they are riding and they are in the zone, it is meditation in motion. Talk to any athlete when they get in the zone, it is meditation in motion, Right. And so you have to practice that. And then when you don't do well with it, you have to go back and do a visualization and practice it in your mind because the mind does not know the difference between real or imagined. Right? I
And then
mean,
that always goes back to me, Michael Jordan. He was the
yes.
master of that.
Yes,
You can't
absolutely.
dribble to your left. Well, he spent the next 20 practices only
Dribbling
dribbling
to
to
the
the
left.
left.
Yes.
Or Larry Bird. I got to go with my
Yeah,
man.
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird. I mean, let's be honest, coming from New England, you from Rhode Island, and myself from Boston area. I mean, they would joke that he can't jump, he can't do these things, but he would stay in that gym and practice
Yes.
over and over and over again. I mean, he would
Well,
shoot probably hundreds of foul shots,
what was the
free throw
Lakers
shots.
coach used to say? If you had a game-winning shot, you would have Michael Jordan do it. And if your life depended on it, you'd have Larry Bird do
And
it.
they'll trash talk you on the way to it, that's for sure.
I mean, so one of the things that, and I know people want to smack me sometimes when I say things like this, but excellence isn't complicated. It's just disciplined, right? And one of my, I love Tom Brady, and I know there are a lot of Tom Brady haters out there, but if you listen to his speech that he gave when he was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, and I have it as a clip because I play it at a lot of my seminars. And he said, you know, success comes from doing things, it's not difficult. It's just doing things that other people aren't willing to do over and over and over again. I'm paraphrasing from that, but it really, there are a handful of skill sets that if we could teach our children these from early on, wow, they would be so equipped to deal with life. And if you look at children that grow up in a family where they meditate as a practice, these children are much more, I don't want to say rounded, but they are able to deal with life's hiccups much more easily. Or within some level of competence.
Casey, I think that was great, but let's talk a little bit more since you were just talking about your youth and your childhood and your personal resilience. You wrote a book just recently, and both P and I have been listening to it. It's on
Yeah,
Audible.
mine stopped
And
listening. I went to go back into it and then it was gone, so I'm gonna have to reorder it.
it's called Bitter or Better, and it's a great title. And so tell us a little bit more about this title and how you grew up in a household affected by alcoholism and how it shaped your view on health and self-worth.
Yeah, wow. So that was my first. I've written a lot of books, and that was my first book that was not either a business topic or a health direct topic, like weight loss or, you know, the biohacking. This book, as you said, was a, I'll call it a personal development memoir about life with my alcoholic mother. And I wrote it because the process of going through my mother's death, hospice, if you would, in our home, it brought up so many emotions for me. And of course, I, you know, starting with my departure to college and realizing how really messed up my youth had been. Everybody has got dysfunction, so it's not unique to anybody per se, but I really felt compelled to write it because I, as an adult, I've come across so many people that have been touched by not just alcoholism, but adversity in their household. And how do you take that and make it better? You know, I watched my mother live a bitter life over things that happened to her. And, you know, stuff happens to everybody. And really, the question is, how do you use that to shape you into a better human being that serves your higher purpose here on earth? I mean, not to get too spiritual, but I really believe that we are put here as souls to make the world a better place. And you've got to find what you're passionate about and live it and love it and make a difference in the world. And so watching my mother live a bitter life, I felt compelled to write it so that I could possibly inspire, even if it was just one other person, to take the adversity that they had in their life and reframe it, rewind it, reframe it, and ask yourself, how did that make me the person I am today? Of course, if you don't love yourself today, you might not want to ask that question. And you got to go back a little bit deeper. But I love the person that I am today that is trying to make a difference in this world. And if I had taken the path my mother did, I would be bitter, not better.
I got to tell you that in my family, there was alcoholism, and there's a lot of bitterness between my mom when she was alive and her sister and even her brother. And there's some, my aunt and uncle are still not talking. It's ridiculous. And even though we would see things go on, whether it was from my father, I'm going to be honest with you, with his issues or whatever, or my mom, well, I don't want to be like that. I remember when my father, I'm just going to be honest with you, there was a moment where he would do something to me, and I said, "Remember this, Ian, don't do this when you to your child." And literally, my sister and I were fighting, and then I got sent downstairs to the basement where our bunk beds were as kids, and the doors cracked open. I'm looking, and Amy goes, "Look, there's Ian." He's like, his dad gets angry at reading his newspaper, and I fall down the stairs. I tumble down, and then he steps on my chest, and I peed my pants. But I remember that moment. Don't do this to your child. And so when I talk to people and they hear about my childhood or the challenges that I might have had, the adversity, they say, "Oh, well, you haven't worked on it. You haven't done the program." I go, "Actually, I have. Okay, this doesn't define me. This has given me the chance to grow." And I always considered myself like a phoenix rising from the ashes. When I had adversity, when things were really tough, I didn't go to drugs. I didn't go to alcohol. I pushed everything away. I had to stand on my own 2 feet because I didn't have the support system of my parents to help me on out with that stuff. I got sent away when I was 10 years old to boarding school. And I know, Pete, your childhood was somewhat challenging as well. So we all can relate to this.
Oh yeah, my dad definitely, I was never good enough. Mental, emotional abuse where he would play mind games, physical abuse, and then I realized, oh, 12 years ago or so that I blame everybody for my mistakes because he would get emotional, beat me, come back 15 minutes later and apologize. So then I realized later in life that, oh, I was apologized, so it wasn't my problem. Where it was my problem when I did the wrong thing, I did deserve to have some consequence for what I did. But and then the other thing that I had talking with you is I had a lady ask me if I've ever thanked my dad for that, because I wouldn't be able to empathize with the horses when somebody isn't right with the horse, that I can empathize and say, hey, there's a better way to do this. And it took me a long while to be able to get big enough with a horse when it's appropriate because of what happened with my father and I.
The pendulum had swung so far the other way. And really, so this here is a microcosm of the macrocosm. What do I mean by that? All three of us are conveying and sharing painful experiences that happened to us. And guess what? Everybody has those. The question becomes, just like we talked about resiliency with the stress, how are you using that to program your brain to be a better person and not a bitter person? I think anybody listening to this podcast would agree that when you look at someone at their end of the life and you compare a bitter person to a better person, you think, wow, that bitter person probably has a lot of things that they regret, where a better person says no. So everybody wants to live their best life. I believe that. That's one of my core beliefs, is everybody wants to live a better life and be the best that they can be. Some people just haven't found the tool set to be able to get past the drama that's in their life, and they are victims, right? No, we're even if you were beat as a child, you have to ask yourself, okay, how does that make me a better person today? Right? How does that shape me into the person that I am today? And again, that for me, I think getting someone to a place where they love their life, they love it. I figured how many people hate what they do. They go to work to get a job, to hit retirement, to have their social security. You know, I have a notepad that someone gave me and it said, she lives the life she loves. And I believe that every human being is put on this earth not to suffer, but to make a difference, to find what they're passionate about, what they love to do. I have not worked a day in my life since I was 25 and started my business, and I'm 61. Doesn't mean I don't work hard. I chose a different drug. I chose work. I'm a holic.
Yes.
I'm a holic. I've gone through pro right. I just chose a different drug, but I have been so blessed that to find what I was passionate about at age 25 and to be able to live my life to do that.
And I always have a saying, a bad day in the horse world for
Yeah,
me
it's a good
is
day.
way better
Yeah.
than the best day
Yeah.
in corporate
Yeah,
America.
absolutely. No.
So what's interesting is in the barn, we teach discipline strategy. But how many of us have learned discipline through our own health and emotions? I got to tell you, there's a lot of pathways with a lot of the training I see are shut down or they can't do things.
Yeah.
And this gives them an opportunity to learn that it's okay and to grow.
Yeah, it's gonna happen. Now, the question is, are you able to use it to shape you in a direction that is more positive? And it is a practice. It is a practice. That's why you are here. You are a soul having this human experience to get good at this, right? And I think it's a gift. I think every what we consider a problem is a gift. It just comes in different shapes and sizes. And once you can see it as a gift and believe it, then you can truly start to take control of the emotions that are triggering you throughout the day.
Are you going to repeat it or are you going to change it?
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
if it's repeating in a good way, keep
Yeah,
repeating
it's Bill Murray Groundhog Day,
it.
and it just comes in different. When I look at the most painful experiences of my life in business, and I've had plenty of them, lost millions of dollars, they
So
repeated themselves. They were just came in a different package until I learned the lesson.
Casey, if I'm a writer, trainer, or coaching, what are the first habits that actually matter the most? Is it the meditation that you're talking about? What would you say, tell them
You know,
when they ask that question?
well, I mean, okay, so that's a big question, but I think the first habit is exactly what we've been talking about, and that is a conscious awareness of your nervous system, right? I would say the second habit is your sleep. If you're not sleeping well, probably it's a real result of your nervous system being jacked up. Aside from, okay, you're drinking too much caffeine or what, or you've got, you know, noise in the room or something like that. But when we talk about performance, you've got to, number one, look at the nervous system and see what's happening. And then number two, are you getting enough hours and quality of sleep? And today, this is one of the biggest problems in our society. People aren't getting enough sleep because they live life way too fast, or they're not getting a good quality of sleep because either what they consume that day or what we call their sleep hygiene, the environment where they're sleeping in.
So my question for you would be, when I was in my 3 years of learning from who I learned from, we were putting in 14 to 16-hour days. Now people think that's a joke unless you talk to somebody else that's been in that situation. How do you get that sleep quality? How do you get that enough sleep when you're kind of being pushed in that direction to where we would get 4 or 5 hours if we were lucky?
Yeah. Well, I mean, so first of all, is there a way that you can get more? Okay, there's going to be times in your life where you don't. I went through times in my life where I didn't. But when you are going to push the needle in one area, well, then you better damn well be hydrating, not eating any junk food, right? Keeping your mental state calm and sharp. So, you know, life is a pendulum that swings. Long periods of time without recovery are going to result in harm to the body in some way, shape, or form, either physically or emotionally.
Well, I mean, when I was growing up, harder is better. Keep
Yeah,
on go
right.
push it, push yourself. I mean, when I taught tennis, I mean, my days might start at 7 a.m., be done at like 11 a.m. Then ID
11 p.m.
and 11 p.m. a.m. That would be really great. 11 p.m. and then go. I'm right back to the same treadmill. I mean, Pete, I hear you talk all the time. You're adding more lessons. You're adding more lessons. You're adding more lessons, and you're very good at what you do. But you're good at saying, okay, I got to take care of myself. Now, I got to tell you, as a friend, you don't have a day off, okay? And
Really?
I don't necessarily have a day off either. So I think you and I could do better too in taking care of our own health, because if we don't, then underlying health issues start to pop up. Then we'll be forced to take care of our health.
Yeah, and look, here's the deal. I am an absolute, I am 100% a workaholic.
Yes,
Okay.
we are.
And if you have the ability to balance and turn off, for me, I literally, when I turn off, I turn off. Like I turn that phone off. I don't turn it on again. I sleep from the time I go to bed until the time I wake up. And
Oh,
that
you
is,
lucky.
I'm not lucky. Luck is when hard work meets opportunity. I have put myself in a position where at age 61, I rarely get up to pee. And I know that's like people thinking, well, I can't believe we're talking about this. This is super important.
No,
If you
I get
don't get
up.
6 hours of uninterrupted sleep, you are more likely to have a cognitive disorder later in life. It is that important. Read the Blue Zones of Happiness book. Sleep is critically important. The reason I can do that is because my nervous system is at peace. I am not on alert. I've got two chocolate labs that are sleeping on the bed with me. I should absolutely be waking up in the middle of the night. I don't.
Yoda, teach me your ways.
Yeah.
I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning with new
That's a
ideas of
dream.
teaching.
That's a dream.
Yeah, and I'm always thinking too.
Look at the Chinese clock, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3 o'clock in the morning. That means that you still have adrenal fatigue.
That's me
Absolutely,
too.
positively, 100%.
Yeah, but there's some good ideas
There are some good ideas. And
that
keep a journal next to your bed and, monitor your dreams and things of that nature because it's God's way of speaking to you, right? But yeah, this is one of the most fundamental, and it's kids today that sleep with that darn phone next to their bed on, dinging all night long that are not getting. We are getting kids that are getting sicker and sicker. It is a big problem. It's a big problem
Yeah, I went a couple months where I put the phone
in the other
in
room.
the other room, and it, well, it's in one room. I live in a trailer, a
Okay.
horse
Yeah. But
trailer.
on the
So
other end of the
yeah, the
horse
other,
trailer, yes. And
yes, ma'am.
that's good. That's
You
good.
know, I think you walk the walk, you talk the talk, you're leading us. I mean, you look great. You're making me want to even focus on my own health and
We're
stop
going on
thinking
vacation.
we're going on
Go sleep somewhere in the Bahamas.
vacation. Not together, everyone, not together. Just let you know. Just be clear about that. But now comes the you getting you a little bit more, not in the parasympathetic response, but the synthetic is our lightning round. Okay, so
Great.
Pete, why don't you explain a little bit of the lightning
Okay.
round?
The right lightning round is a fun round that we don't want you to think.
Okay.
We want whatever comes to you first and just say that word and we move on to the next one. If you want to explain something, we may stop
Okay.
and explain it if that need we're open to that.
Okay.
But this is about your first initial
Well,
response.
I'm not known to be shy with my mouth, so here we go. We'll fit right in.
This will be fun. Coffee, green juice, or cold plunge?
Green juice.
Worst health myth you ever believed?
That no pain, no gain.
Morning routine or a controlled chaos?
Morning routine.
One toxic habit everyone should ditch.
Sugar.
Cardio or strength training?
Strength.
A book that changed your life.
Think and Grow Rich.
One food you wish people would break up with immediately.
Oh, they would break up with immediately. I would say sugar again.
What's an overlooked health level writers ignore?
Parasympathetic nervous system.
Detox trend you secretly roll your eyes at.
Oh, that I secretly roll my eyes at. Wow, I can't even think of one. I'm a huge detox person. Yeah. Sorry.
Tough love or gentle encouragement?
Tough love.
Discipline or motivation?
Discipline.
What's harder, changing your diet or changing your mindset?
Mindset.
One toxic habit most high performance justify?
Caffeine.
Yes, that's true. His stress burns calories. Would we all be fit?
Yes, we would, but we're not.
Bitter moments, do they make you sharper or softer?
Sharper.
Is resentment more dangerous than sugar?
Yes.
Is burnout a badge of honor or a red flag?
Red flag.
Can you truly lead if you don't take care of yourself?
Nope.
Let's repeat that one. What?
Can you truly lead if you don't take care of yourself?
Nope. Look at any animal kingdom. They follow the leader that is not some marshmallow. They follow the fit and the strong.
What's more powerful, consistency or intensity?
Consistency.
Forgiveness, weakness, or superpower?
Oh no, superpower. It
Okay.
is a
I
superpower.
figured I knew
If
the
you
answer.
can't forgive, you are going to have a bitter life.
One word that described your younger self.
Jerk.
One word that describes you now. Bigger
Love.
jerk. No, I'm joking.
Love.
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 What's one belief you had 20 years ago that you no longer agree with?
A belief that I had 20 years ago that I no longer believe. That marriage is hard.
Very
I'm still not married, but I had that
good.
belief at one time. Still looking for Mr.
You go.
Right.
Not Mr. Right Now. Is busy the new addiction?
Oh, for sure.
If you had to eliminate one, alcohol, processed food, or social media, which one would you do?
Processed food.
Most underrated health habit.
Colonics.
Interesting. I always think sleep, but that's okay.
No.
Go
That's a lifestyle, not a habit.
ahead. Sleep or supplements?
Sleep.
One thing every trainer over 40 must prioritize.
Sleep.
One thing every trainer under 40 should prioritize.
Yeah, anger management. You know, that stress response. Most young people have a very short fuse and they don't realize that it's actually creating a habit for them. And then when they hit age 40 and stuff starts to fall apart, they're in such a bad habit.
If somebody listening is exhausted and overwhelmed, what's the first move?
I would say that more than awareness, it would be decisiveness, the decision to decision comes from the Latin word decisus, to cut off from. You have to make the decision that you're going to make a change. Until you do, you're just delusional.
Yeah, I always tell people change is easy.
Yes.
The hard part is maintaining the
That's
change
right.
when nobody will let you
That's
change.
right. That's right. Because your environment. Yep.
You know, Pete, for all the trainers, writers, and burn leaders listening, you take one thing from this episode, what should it be? So let's give Casey one final unforgettable call to action. What would it be, Casey, for these people?
Well, I think it's going to be one of the health sets that I said in my book, and that is, this ain't a dress rehearsal. You don't get a do-over with your health. Look at anyone. You know what? We say this all the time. If you don't find time for your health, you will absolutely have to find time for your sickness. Ask someone what their goals are if they're healthy and they've got a million. Ask someone what their goals are if they're sick. They've got one. It's not a dress rehearsal. You have to start early and you have to take care of yourself. It is the only one you have. Okay, you get a new hip, you get a new shoulder, but from a core health perspective, it is no fun being sick. Prevent it.
So before we wrap it up, Casey, what's the easiest way to get a hold of you, get to know more about you? Tell us the two books.
Sure. Sure. Well, the two current books are Make Yourself Healthy Again and Bitter or Better, both on Amazon, Casey Conrad. And my new website, which by the time this podcast goes live, should be live, it's CaseyConrad.com. So super, super simple. And whether you're in business or whether you're in personal health, that website is going to house everything now.
Well, I should have bought that off of
I've had it for almost 20 years, Ian. But
I
just a
just
little
met
bit
you.
different. Yeah. So,
Well, thanks so much for
thank you
coming.
so much for being here, Casey. So, if you're going to take care of anything this week, take care of you first. If you've enjoyed listening to what Casey had to give and you think somebody else should listen to this, please, by all means, tell them about this podcast. And once again, Ian and I would like to thank you for being in the zone.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
That's a wrap on another powerful episode of In the Zone with Ian Robb and Dancin' Pete Rota. Whether you ride, compete, or simply love your animals like family, today's episode was a reminder that true teamwork starts with connection and that health is the ultimate performance edge. Don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave us a review. And catch us next time as we dive deeper into the mind, body, and bold journeys of top performers. Until then, stay focused, stay inspired, and keep riding in the zone.